Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Da-na-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na. Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to the DraftKings Over Under Show. My name is Joe Murray, one half of the Bankroll Boys. I did not self-proclaim us that. That has been the name that is given. So I am at the Town Fair Tire Studios in beautiful Dorchester, Mass. On a 90-degree day, while Dan Lifschitz is at parts unknown. There's been some wellness checks, Dan, for you. They went to your house. They did not find you. But it sounds like you are on remote at a nice destination. Is that correct?
Yeah, I found a nice bridge to be under in a different state.
That's cool. So, Dan, at parts unknown today, joining us here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We'll get into what happened last night, Dan, but your thoughts on the Lakers losing the series?
I mean, they're up 2-1. With Anthony Davis and LeBron James healthy, they're toying around. Phoenix comes out. They play a really good first half of basketball. Anthony Davis gets hurt and, like, really hurt. Not like, oh, my leg hurts, I'm going to shake it out. Like, really hurt. And, I mean, that's the series, man. Without Anthony Davis, that team changes so much. And it's just, it's not remotely where they need to be. Without Davis, that team is a disaster. I mean, literally, that team is LeBron and Davis and then a bunch of bit pieces. And, you know, Schroeder is good at times, and Harrell's been good at times, although he was terrible in that series. Basically didn't even play. And without LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that team is a disaster. And we saw that round one. I mean, the minute you don't have Anthony Davis, that team isn't winning anything.
So here's my take on it, okay? If people want to get on you about being so adamant that, you know, no other team is going to come out of the West, and that was your thought, that's fine. I'll take that.
I agree. Yep.
That's given. Okay. If you want to get on Dan about that, but dude, this is the first NBA Finals that we haven't seen a LeBron James or a Steph Curry since 2010. Like, the Lakers were the first favorite to come and win the West and lose in the first round since 2007. LeBron James never lost a first round playoff series. And let's face it, the NBA has been pretty predictable over the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
So, I mean, I'll give you all the, as I say, Dan, right? Sometimes streaks are made to be broken. And hey, this year, you know, it seems to be that. I want to get into a ton of gambling stuff, but just keep this thought on your brain. And we'll tease this for later on in the show. But does the bubble change anything for you? Like,
no.
We're starting to see teams that had success in the bubble not have success now. So just think about it. I know I heard your answer, but just think about it. Maybe we'll bring that one up later here in the show. Hey, the phone number here, 617-779-0985. Dude, there's a ton going on. There's the Clippers Mavericks win last night we'll get into. The Hawks 76ers series begins today. Montreal's up 2-0 over the Winnipeg. Golden Knights get a win last night, and the Red Sox 5-2 winners. And, of course, the Bruins play the Islanders game 4 tonight. And the Belmonts today, the Mayweather things tonight, and, of course, the Bucks next is into it. Clippers-Mavericks, quickly, if we can, from last night. Luka's unbelievable. But Kawhi Leonard was Kawhi Leonard last night. He hit some big shots late. The line was 2.5. Dallas had that lead. They blew it. But it did come down to Kawhi Leonard hitting some big shots, and Reggie Jackson kept the Clippers in it. So we got a Game 7 Sunday. I'm kind of leaning Clippers, and I know that that's a team we've somewhat been fading this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, this series to me, man, it's really back and forth. I told you I thought this one would be, again, going over to the 5.5 line, and it would be a back and forth series. I mean, I've been impressed with what Doncic has done. I think you have to be, right? Like, as a Celtics fan, you're sitting there like, I mean, we probably could have traded Jaylen Brown, maybe a pick or maybe something else for you know, the shot to take this guy at number 3 overall. And to not get him right now, it's with the way the Celtics are, it's like, damn, you know, come on. Like, could I have Tatum and this guy? I think the Clippers will pull it out, and I think that they will get help from the league. Look, you can't have both LA teams go out in the first round of the NBA playoffs. What a disaster that would be for the league. Like, seriously, your second round consists of Denver, you know, Dallas, Phoenix, and Utah. I mean, you can't have that if you're the NBA. And coming off the season you were, where the ratings were down, you know, just a ridiculous amount for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't matter. But for whatever reason, the ratings just absolutely, you just get slaughtered in the ratings. Like, now, finally, like, you have a chance with, you know, possibly LeBron, and you lose him in the first round. And it didn't feel like refs were a factor in that game at all. You know, the Lakers were just so bad. I don't know, man. I really don't know what to think. I can't imagine they're going to let the Clippers and the Lakers lose round one. I can't imagine that would be good for the NBA.
I was going to bring this up, but I thought we might have seen a Tony Brothers, Scott Foster, maybe brought in the last night. Now I'm starting to wonder if that's going to be game 7.
Meets.
Like, could we get the game 7 wrangle, man?
Lakers game.
What's that?
I thought we were going to get that for the Lakers game. I was fully expecting to see Scott Foster's big fat name plastered on that, you know, upcoming ref in there, and you know about it. You know already there's a game 7, like, and maybe Anthony Davis is healthy and whatever. But yeah, I was very surprised with the fact that the NBA basically rolled out 4 neutral refs and said, okay, go have fun. I can't imagine that happens for the Clippers as well. Can't imagine.
All right, I'll get into a little bit more of the NBA stuff quickly. I just wanted to touch on last night. Montreal, the Canadiens, who you picked to win in the first round, yep, have a 2-0 series lead over Winnipeg. They get a 1-0 win last night. Carey Price outstanding. I'm starting to look ahead a little bit here, Dan. And, I mean, could there be a Montreal versus Boston Stanley Cup final? I've been looking for the odds, trying to find the odds on that one. But
okay,
that's something to be, something that interests me there.
Yeah, I mean, that would be crazy. Right. That would be crazy to see both Montreal and Boston in the finals. The odds probably are quite high, and I'll see if I can find a matchup there. But I mean, Montreal coming out of that side of the bracket would be an absolute astonishment. Not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying it would be astonishment. I like Toronto because I think we saw very much what Toronto is. And, you know, a overrated team in a maybe overrated division playing a underrated team in an overrated division, and just I don't know. I wasn't surprised that Montreal choked as per usual. Like, that's their MO. That's what they do. So I wasn't shocked that Montreal came back to win. I would be Montreal's still going off at 11-1. Even with the 2-0 lead in the series to win the title, I would be borderline stunned if they even made it to that spot to have the ability. Now, Boston Joe's 4-1, and I think that obviously we'll talk, you know, the series price and everything that's kind of going on in that series. I told you, I think this is going to be a long series in the Boston, the Islander series. I think we've seen that, you know, 2 overtime games, the last 2 games. I think this is going to be a long, long series, and man, it's been fun so far.
The Brandon Carlo situation is going to be interesting. If he's unable to play, of course, Vaakanainen, Zboril, Tenorti, those are the players that are left over. We've already seen Tenorti in this in this postseason so far, so that's something to keep an eye on. And I thought Tuukka Rask was absolutely outstanding the other night. People can, you know, make an argument about that Barzal goal, but I thought he was outstanding. And the unders have been nothing but money when it comes to these series. And I think both goaltenders have been outstanding. And I did see the other night our buddy Ryan Johnson, who comes up next on the hockey show, bet the draw plus 325 to go into overtime. So there's some value on that. But yeah, the under has gone from 5.5 to 5 for tonight's game. We'll break that down. And then, of course, the Red Sox 5-2 winners last night. I still am looking at those odds for the AL East. Like, we'll give those later in the show. They won last night. The Golden Knights took down Colorado. Probably should mention that because Colorado's first loss. And then something that could be interesting to look at, Dan, because I want to get into this in the next segment. And when it comes to the NBA, the Portland Trailblazers have moved on from Terry Stotts. Now, forget about really the fact that another coach is available and this other, but this is now another destination for a coach to go to, or maybe cherry pick, you know, you would have thought that the Celtics maybe had their pick of the litter here. Well, now Portland's involved. If you ask me, I think Boston's a better destination. Now Portland's
it's not comparable.
Yep. Yeah. So all I'm saying though is that it's going to put interviews there now. You know, it's not just the Celtics with the pick of the litter. You know, it's now Portland's now involved. But yeah, it's definitely not as enticing as the Celtics could be. So we'll take a break quickly, Dan. We'll reconnect if we can. We'll get into the updated NBA championship odds. Who comes out of the West? And think about that question about the bubble there. We'll think about that. And then Celtics next coach. We got the odds on that. Dan's thoughts. We got the Belmont today. Bruins Islanders. We're going to break all that down here. Of course, Bucks Nets. I know a lot of people are going to bet on that one. And got some other stuff later on here in the show. The Week 4 line, Patriots Bucks is out. We'll tease that one as well. So 617-779-0985. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifschitz with us here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show. He is at parts unknown. 617-779-0985. That's the number if you want to jump aboard here. I see Mark from Medford is on the line. I'm sure he has a thought about the old Bruins game tonight that's happening here. I'm just trying to get my call screener going, but if you could pot him up there for me, Tom. Hey, Mark, how's it going today, bud?
Hey, what's up, guys? Actually, my comment about the Belmont, but with the Bruins, first of all, I have to disagree with you, Joe, because I think the Bruins are taking it in 5.
Especially I bet them in 5.
I hope so, because I predicted them in 5 against Washington, and I'm staying with the same number. But as far as the Belmont goes, I like Bobonic today. He's the number one horse off the rail. But then my trifecta is a 1-3-8. What do you think?
Ooh, so I'm going back to essential quality here, and we'll get a little horse thing coming up in just a little bit. on that. But I'll give you the posts. We'll do that at about 7:50. We won't waste too much time on that today, Dan. But like I said, if there's no Triple Crown winner, it's a bore for me. It's a bore.
It's also a wicked small field. What, we have 8 horses today? I mean, it's a small field. The competition is meh. I'm a big Hot Rod Charlie guy. So, I mean, you know, that's the way I'd probably go again. But, yeah, it's a small field, man. The value is at best shot at this point.
Yeah, and I got all the post numbers. We'll save that coming up for just a little bit. Oh, Essential Quality is the favorite. There you go. All right.
Shocking, huh?
Yeah, I had Essential Quality who finished, well, 4th, I guess, in the Derby.
Yep.
But if you consider Bob Baffert's, does Hot Rod Charlie now finish 2nd?
I would say, yeah, probably.
So does that mean that both horses that we took finished in the top 3?
I would say yes.
See, like,
of course, people have asked me, like, oh, since this horse got disqualified, can I go to my sports book? No, it's day of sports rules.
But yeah, so, especially if you have a ticket, you're cashing that bad boy in that day.
If you have a ticket, maybe. I don't think so, though.
Well, that'd be interesting. I would like to know that. All right, Dan. So I am looking at the championship odds for the NBA. Brooklyn's the big favorite. And then it's Utah, Milwaukee, Phoenix. I mean, we haven't really put the Clippers in. Don't know yet. And the Hawks. Who wins the West right now?
I think it's a good question. I mean, I'm rooting for Phoenix based upon what they just did. I thought that was a really incredible series they played. The Jazz are plus 135 right now. I think that, I mean, the Jazz had a hard time with the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, let's not forget those games were closer than, you know, that series score kind of appeared. I would probably go Phoenix, but I mean, they're, you know, you can take a small shot on, you know, on Dallas is still 22.5 to 1. Like, I honestly feel like the West is more open than any conference has been in a very, very long time. I do think ultimately it'll probably be Phoenix or LA, but and I know that's not including the first seed of Jazz. Just, I think that Phoenix Suns team, they have more talent than I gave them credit for in the first round. And I do think Utah will probably struggle to score against them the way that they defend, the way that they close out. And if they get, Chris Paul is going to be healthier. Like, if they get the same total play from, like, you know, bit part pieces, Jay Crowder and, just the ridiculous
Cameron Johnson, like those guys off the bench,
campaign, a ridiculous series against the Lakers. Like, if they get the same production, who's going to beat them in the West? Now, you could argue, you know, Brooklyn or someone in the East could take them down, but I have a very hard time seeing anyone with Phoenix coming out of the West. I still wouldn't bet it. I wouldn't listen to me on that, just because I think the West is so wide open right now. You've lost your best chance to get any value on Phoenix at 3-1 or whatever it is.
So the one that Denver, I don't think, is going to get much play. And it kind of stinks Jamal Murray's out. Like, this could have been a chance for them. Obviously, the Suns would be in their way. I'm looking at game one. The line right now is 4-4 Phoenix, total 219.5. We'll get a Jokic versus Booker matchup, which will be good. It kind of stinks that there's no Jamal Murray, but yeah, you mentioned the ratings in the last segment here, and I mean, the only thing that's moving the needle for me is Bucks Nets. And you know, the more I look at this series, I think the Nets are the best team, and they're the favorites. They should be the favorites. I don't know. Like, I wonder if today's worth dabbling on the Bucks. And the reason why I say that is, you know, it took the Nets a little bit of time in that first series against the Celtics to get going, especially that game one. The Celtics had a chance there. They didn't. Like, the Bucks have been good. And, you know, they literally just swept the Heat. So I'm wondering if they could steal one In game one today, they're 4-point dogs. The total's 239. Wow. A total that high, I lean over automatically. But Brooklyn minus 4, for some reason, dude, I'm kind of, I haven't put it in yet, but I'm leaning Bucks early on.
Yeah, I agree. I think game one is going to be the type of game where the Nets have to figure out their rotations and what they're going to do against this Milwaukee team. How do you stop Giannis? And I think also, how do you attack Chris Middleton? Now, I do think that the one thing that lines up pretty nicely for the Nets is I think that they're going to have I think Milwaukee without Dante DiVincenzo is going to have a very hard time covering both James Harden and Kyrie Irving this series, right? I mean, DiVincenzo is a major, major loss for that team that no one has really talked about. And I know that they got by Miami, no problem, in the first round. I just wonder, you know, Bryn Forbes is probably going to step into that role. It makes an already short bench shorter. I mean, now we're really probably likely to see Jeff Teague as a legitimate option off the bench for Milwaukee.
Oh, no.
And if you've been, I mean, you watched Jeff Teague this year, he was a disaster in Boston. I mean, he was so bad he got waived, and basically outright released. Your bench now is probably Jeff Teague, Pat Connaughton, PJ Tucker, and Bobby Portis. And you know, PJ Tucker has looked old. Pat Connaughton has given you something. Connaughton and Portis, those guys have looked good. So, you know, I'm definitely not going to be critical of that. Is this now you're probably going, you know, if your eighth guy is Jeff Teague and your three guards are Holiday, Forbes, and Jeff Teague, maybe you try and rotate Pat Connaughton in there, or, you know, go with a big lineup and use Middleton there. I'm just worried about when the Nets go with their bench and James Harden is still in the game, because I think that's what having three superstars allows you to do, is rotate those guys. How is Milwaukee going to counter that? And I think that we're going to find out early in game one, but I do think the Nets are going to kind of slow play like they did with the Celtics. They'll struggle in the first half, you know, and then they came out gangbusters in the second half, maybe with some adjustments. If I'm looking at Milwaukee, Joe, to be perfectly honest with you, I might even be looking first half today. If I can get, you know, a 2.5, I would be looking at that. And also in the total, it's crazy high, but I think I'd probably go over game one too, because we know what the Nets are. Three collective superstars play lack of team defense. We don't know what the status of Jeff Green is, who I actually will think would be important in the series. It wasn't in the Boston series because it's Boston, but in this series, I think Jeff Green will be important. They need that guy back on the floor. So I lean over the 239 as well.
The series price, Bucks plus 160, Brooklyn minus 200. So I'm out on the 200, even though I think they win the series. I'm curious if there's value here. I'd probably play this game by game. If Milwaukee can go up 1-0, you know, they can make it 1-1 going back to Milwaukee, something to that degree. That's something I would look into here. But as far as the series price, I'd probably lay off. Looking at the 76ers-Hawks series, Hawks plus 145, Sixers minus 175. I think that's right. I feel like that's right. We don't know Embiid status, right? We think he's coming back. Could they beat the Hawks without Joel Embiid?
Yes, Ben Simmons would have to play his booty off. I mean, to be honest with you, like, he would have to play really, really well. They'd have to, you know, I mean, they would have to shoot the ball incredibly well from three. I'm not saying it's not possible, because I do think that Joel Embiid will come back sometime in the series. It just depends on, is he going to be the same guy? Is he going to be able to be aggressive? And I think that, you know, the injury, if you're not going to have surgery on it, the tears only get bigger. And, you know, talking to the Twitter doctors who were kind of talking about it, I mean, I don't know. There's a chance that if he re-injures that, then he's done for the playoffs. I mean, that would be a disaster. I think Philly can win, but Atlanta showed so much confidence in the way they played, the free-flowing game, shooting threes. They played against a really, really good defensive team and made it look easy. I mean, really, outside of that second half in game two, Atlanta made that series look so easy, Joe. And I do have a hard time believing that Philly is just going to steamroll them without Joel Embiid. Game one is three. Tom, if you don't mind, I'm going to PP Atlanta plus three game one without Joel Embiid. Ring that bell, Tom.
Ooh. He's ringing the bell for the Hawks. Game one, Hawks.
Yeah, I do think that that's going to be a tough one for Philly. They've had a little bit of a layoff here, which is hopefully going to help them. But I do think that Atlanta, you know, covers that three. I think they take game one. I really do. I don't think they're going to win the series. I think Philly will, you know, Embiid will play. I think, you know, Philly wins the series again. Try not to outsharp yourself. But I think game one, Atlanta's looking, you know, Atlanta looks nice. And honestly, I think Milwaukee kind of looks the same. If you can get a 4.5, I think I'd prefer first half, but still it's not a bad spot to look. I think that line will probably be 5.5. So
Saturday, obviously we get Bucks Nets. It stinks that it goes up against Bruins Islanders tonight, but that's going to be your,
yeah, it sucks.
It stinks. I mean, we don't have, and there's no other basketball game today either. And then tomorrow you get the Hawks 76ers 1:00, and then a game 7 Mavericks Clippers. And then it kind of just goes to this rotation of Bucks Nets, Nuggets Suns. And then that Jazz series begins on Tuesday night, but we're really only going to have one or two NBA games the rest of the way. And I guess if you look at the NHL, there's two today. Same thing. Like we were having games every, we were getting kind of spoiled here, you know, with all these games. There's actually two hockey games on Sunday too. So I guess they're trying to do two games every day. So that's at least working out, on the NHL side. I asked you this, Dan, before the break, does the bubble change anything for you with the NBA? The Lakers winning it all, the Heat going to the final, like all the teams that were in the final, well, actually maybe not Denver, but most of those teams have been knocked out. So do you think bubble basketball was what it was, or is it just this year caught up to them?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that, there's clearly something that the bubble affected, right? I mean, there's clearly something there. I think there's too much evidence to kind of just like straight up deny that and say, oh yeah, no, that's not a thing. Like, I think it'd be really, really, really hard to kind of straight up say that. I do think that, you know, maybe we're overrating a little bit. Like, listen, the bubble wasn't any different than a lot of the season. Like, a lot of these guys had a very similar routine, you know, until the vaccinations. Like, go to practice, go home, eat with family, stay with family. Like, you know, a lot of these guys weren't going out, weren't doing stuff as they were in a normal NBA season. So, yeah, it's not the exact same. Obviously, of course, being in a bubble is a little bit more, a lot more constricting and better. But I do think that a lot of these guys' lives changed, and obviously not for the better, during this whole thing. And, you know, I also think that, you know, when it comes to like a team like the Lakers, like if Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt, they're up 2-1 in that series. Do you think they lose that series? I don't think so. I think that if Anthony Davis is healthy, they probably take that series, you know, 4-2. Like, I do think they come back and win that game 4. They probably, you know, take that in 6, and, you know, we're not even talking about, you know, Lakers struggles right now. Miami is just a team that just what be a buzzsaw in Milwaukee. And I think Milwaukee, the addition of Jrue Holiday really, really helped. But let's not underestimate what that bench did. Brent Forbes had a massive game. Pat Connaughton had a massive game. Like, those guys came off in the – and they actually had massive games. Giannis didn't have a sprained ankle. They looked collective, you know, just better collectively. And it felt like Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler couldn't score for whatever reason in that series. Miami just had a very hard time scoring. Tyler Herro has not been the same player this year. Like, there were a lot of factors. So I don't think the bubble has been a giant disparity, but I think there you have to acknowledge that there was something about it. Is that also fair, Joe?
Like, I agree.
There's something about it, but I don't think it's also like it also wasn't a disaster.
Yeah, I'm not going to put an asterisk next to it or anything like that.
Right.
But just one last thing on the Lakers. I don't want to rub it in.
Dude, no, it's fine. No, feel free. I need to own that.
They sucked. Like that first quarter, dude. They're down 22 points, and I don't know. I'm curious about their future. Like LeBron, AD, they're going to be in the just those two alone. They're going to be in the conversation, right?
Yeah.
But like, Marc Gasol, like Marquise Morris, Schroeder was fine. Whatever. They just like Montrezl Harrell. Woof, huh? Woof.
No.
It's just
brutal.
They need to get better. How do they get better? Like I don't know. They think Kuzma's like this third piece, man. And I don't know, man. Like I'd trade him to get something good.
Kuzma was horrendous. I mean, really, like really horrendous. I don't know. I don't know, Joe. I think when you're looking at it and the way that it goes,
would you rather be the Lakers or the Celtics?
I'd much rather be Boston. Much rather be Boston.
Ooh, did you hear that? Tom Morgan is working today. Did you hear that?
Much rather be Boston. And here's the reason why is because I think, and this has just been out there, Jason Kidd's obviously leaving the Lakers. We kind of talked about. Oh, you know, years ago on this show, I thought Jason Kidd would get the whole head coach because that's his guy and LeBron's guy. Does LeBron look to leave the Lakers? And I know he signed a 2-year extension and he's under contract and everything. Is there a potential LeBron James future or trade in, you know, coming in the future? And I'm just asking the question. Like, you know, there are some destinations. If he goes to the Knicks and wins a title there, like, what does that look like for New York? And can he go back to the Cavs? We know he wants to be the owner of that team eventually. How about Philadelphia? You know, he's talked about wanting to play with a dominant center. Maybe he doesn't feel like Anthony Davis can hold up anymore. And Joel Embiid's out there. And, you know, maybe he goes to Miami. Maybe he wins that third title in Miami. You know, he knows that organization, feels comfortable there. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying, like, I think there's a possibility that LeBron force his way out of LA. That's all.
Okay. Well, we're actually going to give a picks on who the next Celtics basketball coach is. We'll get into that. We'll get into that coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Zone.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's the DraftKings Over Under Show. We're going to break down the Islanders and Bruins game at the top of the hour. I'll see if we get any Belmont picks coming up as well. And we have stuff later on in the show that it's kind of a hit list, Dan, kind of like a stack version of the DraftKings Over Under Show of just a plethora of like prop bets that are out there. So we'll have some fun with that later on in the show. But the odds are out for the Celtics' next head coach. Bet Online has them. Bovada has them. Sportsline has them. So I'll just kind of give you the names. And I want you to make a pick, Dan. All right? So Jay Larinaga, Jason Kidd, Chauncey Billups, Lloyd Pierce, Sam Cassell, Kenny Atkinson. Okay, those seem to be like the big name. And then there's Becky Hammon, the Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jacksons of the world. And then there's the, Ime Udoka, Jaren Collins, Alvin Gentry, Nate McMillan, D'Antoni, like those people. Juwan Howard, you already know I like him. So I'm not gonna PP Juwan Howard at 3,000 because we just discussed, like, the Celtics is a destination. I'm just curious, for Juwan Howard's sake, is it better for him to stay in Michigan for a year and come to Boston? That's something he has to decide. I think he's the right fit. The Rick Pitino thing, that's just a troll job. So the more I look at this, Dan, my pick, the field, PP. I'm PPing the field. I don't think it's any of the names that have been listed by any sports book at the moment.
Yeah, so Tom, if you can ring that bell.
Yeah, ring that bell. I'm going with the field. There's no odds, by the way. The field's got to be like, I mean, it's going to be like, let's just give it 500, all right? The field, 500.
Okay. I would probably go with the field, too. I mean, ultimately, I want Chauncey Billups. Like, that would be the guy who I would want, despite what's going on. Like, that's the guy I want. But I wouldn't be shocked if we see Carol Lawson. Like, I think that she's going to get a legitimate shot. I think Jerome Allen's going to get a legitimate shot because of the relationship with Jason Tatum.
Not on the list. You're right.
I mean, Becky Hammon is. I think she's going to be in Antonio. Like, she's going to take over for Pop. You know that that's coming down the line. Like, that just feels like something that's going to happen. I'm out on taking any of those candidates. I think that we need to see a more refined list, and I think we will with some media leaks and, you know, whatever. So maybe we'll do that, but, you know, once it gets closer, but we'll see. I agree. I think it's the field there as well, and it sucks that there's no field option right now.
I know. We'll see, right? I mean, we'll see what happens when it comes to the more of these sports books. So I've heard a couple of names. So I think it could be the kid Allen, Jason Tatum's boy. That's what I'm starting to think it will be. I just think that it has to be a Tatum guy. But these retreads, dude, like Terry Stotts, I don't know. I'm not discrediting the guy. He's got the Portland in the playoffs. I figured he could do more with that team when he hasn't. So I'm out. Rick Carlisle is someone I'd be interested in, even though his age. And I always wonder if he could, like, recruit Luka Doncic somewhere else. That's something I wonder. But as far as retreads go, Dan, I'm out, man. There's nothing good there. And the Jason Kidd thing, I know he failed once, and sometimes getting that next opportunity could be good. I just can't root for that guy. Just going back to the 2002, like, Easter Con, I can't root for that guy. I just can't.
No, can't root for him. Don't want him. He was a disaster his first time around. I mean, things probably get better, but, like, still, I want nothing to do with that. And I want nothing to do with Lloyd Pierce. Nothing.
Oh, nothing. God, that's why he got canned, and then look what happened to them, right?
I mean, failed in Atlanta, and Brad may have a relationship with him, and maybe that's why, you know, they put his name out there, is because Brad has a relationship with him and he's doing him a solid. That's what I hope it is, man. That's what I hope, because I want nothing to do with that guy. He couldn't get it done in Atlanta with, you know, and they bring in Nate McMillan. Look what's going on, you know, in Atlanta right now. Like, there's no way that I want to deal with, you know, I have no interest in dealing with that guy. So I'll take a pass. Like, Nate McMillan's doing a great job, and
yep,
Lloyd Pierce just looks like a disaster.
So I have a source.
Ooh,
I mentioned this to you in passing in the parking lot.
You did.
So I'm going to share it because I looked into it a little bit more. The name I'm hearing is Scott Morrison. He's going to probably get one of the first interviews with the team. He's right now an assistant coach. Most people may know him as the coach of the Maine Red Claws.
Oh, boy. Adam Jones jumping out of his seat right now, man. He is so excited.
That does not excite anybody, does it?
No. I think that would be a more of the same kind of down the line through Brad. And I get that would be I get why Brad would make that decision. That's the wrong decision. That is not the guy you go with for this team. Like, Scott Morrison's not a guy that Jason Tatum is probably going to come in and respect right away. I don't know. I guess I don't know that for a fact. Like, I know he played and, you know, I think he was, you know, he legitimately played some basketball. But no, I want nothing to do with that. Zero.
So, Tom Morgan, who's producing today, just whispered, well, it worked for the Bruins with Bruce Cassidy.
Okay, Tom is not wrong about that. It's a little bit of a different sport, though, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You're dealing with a little bit more of a personality and more of a babysitting type role. A few more egos. A little bit more of a babysitting type aspect to the job. It did work for Cassidy. You're definitely not wrong. I think you need to bring in a guy who's going to shove rings in these players' faces. Like,
I agree with you. I'm just, do some research, everybody, on Scott Morrison. If you can,
oh, man.
He played a little bit of ball at the University of Prince Edward Island. Graduated in 2000, so he's essentially my age. And all I can tell you is he's done a lot of work with the Canadian National Under-19 basketball team that were very successful. He's been all over the country. So just get ready for the spin, everybody. Get ready for the spin and the name Scott Morrison.
Man, I really hope that's not what the director decided to go. It's nothing against Scott Morrison. I'm sure he's a good basketball coach. It's just, that feels like Brad 2.0.
No, Brad 2.0. Maybe Brad 2.0.
We don't need that right now. We don't need that. No, no one wants that right now. Everyone will be so upset.
All right, Dan, we'll do a quick little thing here on the Belmont, which is today is the final leg of the Triple Crown, I guess, that nobody will win this year. But people want to bet it, and you know what? I'll give you a couple of picks here, and we'll do that coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we'll spend 2 minutes on this, Dan. The Belmont Stakes, of course, the final leg. Get it, leg, of the racing year. $1.5 million at stakes, referred to as the test of the champion, but there is no champion this year. I did get a little note about a minute ago that there was a horse last night that a jockey fell off a horse last night.
Yeah, it was the other day.
There you go. So I just wanted to at least share that one. So I'm going back to essential quality, Dan, for the winner. +245 right now if you want a 2-1 odds at some places. Out of the two post, Hot Rod Charlie's at, you know, basically +435. I got these off of 5 Dimes. And I know that DraftKings has them as well, but these put them by the post, and I know a lot of people like to bet the post as well. So I'll just give you 3 horses. I'll give you 3. Only one of them. All right, I'm going to get 2 to place. I have essential quality to win the Belmont Stakes. I'm going Hot Rod Charlie to place, and I'm going Rock Your World to show. And my long shot, is Bourbonic plus 2,500.
Yeah, I got nothing for you. I think Joe, that you are going very square today.
Well, Bourbonic's a long shot.
Yeah, but if you're taking your trifecta of Essential Quality, Hot Rod Charlie, and Rocket World, you're going very
well. Think about it. Essential Quality and Hot Rod Charlie finished third and fourth at the Derby. They didn't race in the other one. So I'm going back to it. I think Essential Quality is the best horse, 3-year-old horse. Obviously, it lost in the Derby, but I'm going back. I think that's the best horse in the race. Hot Rod Charlie, I think, is the next best horse.
Yeah.
The other, now it's who's going to play. Rock Your World is supposedly the one of the favorites or dark horses, right, in this one. So I know it's square. I know an agenda I'm not taking. Overtook, I don't know anything about. I'm going Bourbonic as my long shot. I could have gone Frenzy Go Deina, but I don't know anything about that. I don't even know if I said it right. So give me Essential Quality to win the damn thing.
All right, cool.
There we go.
I got nothing, man. I you know me. I'm not a ponies guy. I don't claim to be. I'll throw out some fun picks sometimes, but nothing for me.
2-4-7. There we go. That's what we have for today. We'll get the headlines here, and then there is Game 4, Bruins Islanders. We'll break that down coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.